Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Do you have a young one, or maybe expecting, and thinking about how you will teach them the Word of God? You know that the Word of God is important, through the very Word of God, God delivers His good gifts, especially this gift of faith, and you want them to have that, to treasure that. How do you teach them the Word of God? Well, when we teach the Word of God, quite often we call that catechesis. When we're teaching some of the most common or basic teachings of God's Word, we call that catechesis. How do you do that with the youngest ones, with those toddlers? Can they learn the Word of God? Can you do catechesis with little ones? We're going to talk about that today with our friends from Concordia Publishing House. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about them on our website in the sponsors section. Look for the CUW logo. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. In studio with me today, Joe Willman, Senior Instructional Designer at Concordia Publishing House here in St. Louis. Joe, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Glad to have you in studio. I was enjoying talking with you before the program. I have a feeling we could, you and I could talk for hours about education and children and the Word of God, something that I think we're both very passionate about, and many of our listeners as well. Joe, tell me a little bit about yourself. Not only are you a senior instructional designer with Concordia Publishing House, but a husband and a father too, right?
Yeah, I serve in all of those vocations. I think, so I'm a senior instructional designer. I work in our editorial department focusing on curriculum, Sunday school materials, those things that Concordia Publishing House supplies to our people. But in my household, I serve as a husband and a father, and I have one little daughter that will be 4 in November, and then we're expecting any minute now the arrival of our second child.
So if your phone rings, you are my one guest who's allowed to have his phone on during the program. If your phone rings and you dash out, I'll know why.
Yes, I will leave my notes right here.
Very good. It's an important vocation, husband and father. Both are important vocations. And I know you take those seriously, and also an educator as well.
Right. Yeah. And as I believe educator is something that every husband, every father, every mother of children has that vocation and serves in that for their children. That's something that we've been given to do, to pass on this faith, to teach our children what we believe.
And how do we do that? The very thing that God has given us, His Word. That's how we teach, so that faith may result. We teach the Word of God. And catechesis is, well, how would you define catechesis?
The teaching of the faith that we have, it's very clearly spelled out in Scripture. And luckily, Dr. Luther left us this little thing called the Small Catechism that I'm sure all of our listeners are intimately familiar with. But it's just a perfect layout of how we teach our kids what we believe, what we confess about what God has done for us and who He is.
Exactly. What He's done for us, who He is, who we are before Him, mm-hmm. who we are apart from Him. All very important things. But quite often we ask and are challenged with this question, can little ones, especially, you know, the youngest ones, those toddlers, infants even, can we teach them? Can they learn the Word of God? Is there value in trying to teach them the Word of God? Especially those little toddlers who are developing language skills and starting to speak and enjoy some stories and things like that. Can we teach them?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I think it's always fascinating to realize how quickly kids catch on to things. An analogy I was thinking about this, I'm a big Indianapolis Colts fan. That's something that is near and dear to my heart, watching the Colts every week. And 3 weeks ago was opening game for the Colts, and they were playing the Detroit Lions. And in typical Indianapolis fashion, our defense is not that good this year. And in typical Andrew Luck fashion, he overcomes the defense and drives us down with 37 seconds left in the game to take the lead. And I was a little bit excited. And then I stood up behind the couch, and my daughter looks at me like, Daddy, what's the matter? And I'm like, there's 37 seconds left, and I know exactly what's going to happen. The Lions march down the field, kick a field goal, and I scream, dang it. Out loud. The next day while I'm sitting at work, I get a text message and my wife says, do you know what your daughter is saying right now? She's just saying dang it to everything, right? And they just learn these things just by seeing and by hearing us. But to think of the catechism as too difficult, or the Word of God as too difficult for our kids, I think would be a farce. You have a young one. You have a 3-year-old.
I do.
I'm going to assume that a lot of our listeners probably have kids 6 or younger that they're thinking about. So you've probably seen the movie Frozen once or twice or 37 times in your household, or maybe you haven't allowed that to happen.
Probably about 1,500 times.
1,500 times, right? Yeah. So I did a little case study because I've seen it
a few times
as well. The songs that are in Frozen, there are 2,000 words in all of those songs. I looked up the text, copy and pasted it into a Word document and turned on the word count. I did the same thing with the Enchiridion of the Small Catechism, and there are 2,900 words. So from a quantity standpoint, it's not that much different. But then we have to ask ourselves, what should we be teaching preschoolers? When we walk into teaching them the catechism, do we teach them, what does this mean? What are the things? And Luther actually told us what we should be teaching new Christians, and especially our little ones. And I'd like to read a little bit out of of the short preface of the Large Catechism. I think when we think of the catechisms, they both go hand in hand. Luther would have talked about once you learn and master the Small Catechism, which he would also say you can never master it. You should be in it daily. But that we should move on to the Large Catechism. But in the short preface, a sermon that he delivered, he said some words, and just a little bit here. This sermon is designed and undertaken to be an instruction for children and the simple folk. Therefore, in ancient times, it was called in Greek catechism, which means instruction for children. It teaches what every Christian must know. So a person who does not know this catechism could not be counted as a Christian or be admitted to any sacrament, just as a mechanic who does not understand the rules and customs of his trade is expelled and considered incapable. Therefore, we must have the young learn well and fluently the parts of the catechism or instruction for children, diligently exercise them in them, and then keep them busy with these parts. And that's so important that he says even our young children. But then he goes on to define what are those parts. He talks about a new Christian or somebody that doesn't know that. And he talks about the three parts of the catechism is what he dives into. And those three parts are the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And he's not even talking about the new Christian or our young children. He's talking about what does this mean? He's talking about the text of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And he goes on to admonish when you're teaching somebody, these are the first three things, and these are the most important things that they need to know, for in them explains what we need to know about the Christian faith. And then in typical Luther fashion, I can't go on without mentioning this part. It always makes me chuckle when I read this. He talks about those three parts and he says, these are the most necessary parts of Christian teaching that one should first learn to repeat word for word. And our children should be used to reciting them daily when they rise in the morning, when they sit down to their meals, and when they go to bed at night. And until they repeat them, they should not be given food or drink. Now, I'm sure Luther is talking about we don't start dinner until we have said that. But it's just funny to think about, don't feed your kids until they say this. But you think about that. These are more important to us. These are life-giving to us. Yeah. More than food is, these words are life-giving to us because in them is the truth of our salvation and all of that. So it's fascinating.
I have a sound bite to share with you.
Oh, great.
This is from, I think this is from last week.
Our Father,
which is heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's our trespasses. As we go trespass Jesus, it's our nutrition. From the evil, in the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Is that your son?
That's Oscar. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
That was from last week. We, we've been learning the Lord's Prayer probably since before he could talk. We've been praying that together, and so it's an important part of that. The Lord's Prayer, the Creed were the first two things that he's learned. Now we're working on the Ten Commandments, but yeah, that one's another story.
It is another story, and I'll be excited later to share some tips and strategies as to how to teach that. I think that's important, though, to realize that's what we focus on. I think as Lutherans, we attach the word catechism to something else, and we attach it to confirmation. That's an easy trap to fall into when we look at that. But really, we should not expect our preschoolers to be able to spit out for us, what does this mean? We want them to know this text first. And as they grow, then we teach those things, especially before sixth and seventh. We would expect them to know those words before then. But Luther even talks about that in his preface to the Small Catechism, about the importance of, after they have learned the text well, then teach them the meaning. So you teach the text first, and then he goes on later to say, take your time in doing this, for it is not necessary for you to explain all the parts at once, but one after the other. So I think it's interesting that in our world of education, we have people like Vygotsky and Piaget, and we have all of these educational theories, but then we look back to the 16th century, and we're like, man, that Luther guy, he kind of had his finger on something at that point in time. So,
well, and that's really a classical approach to education too, this grammar stage. You start with learning these things. You may not necessarily understand what they mean. They may not have a whole lot of meaning yet, but you learn them. Just like arithmetic. I mean, you learn multiplication. I think that was, third grade for me. It's probably younger now for kids, but you just learn your times tables, as we called them then. You learn multiplication, and then you really learn how to use them in the subsequent grades as you get into higher grades.
You know, I think you hit something very important there, is understanding the process of how people learn it and how do we attack that. If you look at arithmetic, my mom was a math teacher, and I can tell you that right now, if she was listening, she would be banging her fist on the table. You're absolutely right. Kids need to know their times tables first. And it's true. There's a reason why we memorized these facts, so we could access them quickly. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, why do we teach a child the catechism? So it can be on their heart. It can be on their lips. They can know these words, and it's imparted on them for life. And when they are cognitively able to start to apply meaning to these words, they may be able to do it now. But as they get older and they can go deeper and deeper, they already have these words. Mm-hmm. They already know these words. They already know the truth. And now we can go deeper into teaching about those words.
Sure. He can carry it with him without necessarily having to pull out, without the need to pull out a device or even a small catechism, a hard copy of a small catechism to read it, because he's already committed to memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're aiming for. Sometimes he does ask Alexa.
Yeah.
The small catechism. We're working on that.
Yeah. Is he comfortable with doing that?
He just likes to ask. When I say Alexa, I'm talking about the Amazon Echo, and there's the small catechism skill for Alexa. It's a neat device, handy tool, but he just likes to, he likes to talk to Alexa. I'm hoping he's not confused in thinking that Alexa is a real person.
You know, that was being intimately involved in that project from its beginning, I could tell you stories about sitting in an airport with somebody and they said, have you seen the skills in Alexa? And then a week later, we had a prototype of it. It was really a fun project. My daughter will not ask Alexa anything.
Oh, really?
We have our Echo sitting on our kitchen counter and she's always like, Daddy, ask Alexa something. And I'm like, sweetie, you can ask Alexa. And she's like, oh no, I cannot do that.
I'm not worthy.
Yes.
Well, my son will ask us to ask Alexa, things as well. But he'll venture out and ask himself as well.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of why we created that.
Yeah. He doesn't always quite get it phrased the way though that for that device. But
Well,
he enjoys it. And as he gets older, I'm sure that's something he'll enjoy doing.
Enunciation is a hard thing for toddlers.
But she's learned to recognize his voice. The technology recognizes his voice. I know it's designed to do that, to learn to recognize the voices in the household. And she can pick up on even the words that he says.
Which is great.
Yeah. So teaching toddlers, it's not as insurmountable as we think it might be, or impossible.
No, absolutely not.
This is really something we can do.
I would hope any parent would see that outside of catechesis to make that connection. Mm-hmm. I mean, we teach our kids the ABCs, we teach our kids colors, we teach our kids how to count from 1 to 10. So learning is not foreign to them. And in fact, we can see in different scenarios, if we talk about foreign languages, it's probably easier for my 3-year-old to learn a foreign language than it is for me to learn a foreign language.
I would agree. Well, in my case, certainly for my son to learn a foreign language than for me to learn it.
Yes. I would prefer that too as well. That's a lot of hard work that I don't know that I want to dive into right now.
But I think perhaps the misconception that parents have is when it comes to teaching God's word, when it comes to catechesis, that these are really deep concepts. These are abstract concepts, and children can't learn these. And so therefore, we're just not even going to bother with it, because this is really tough stuff. This is Christian theology. This is biblical theology. This is hard to learn. And so we'll just wait until he's older.
I would ask the parents, how is that working for them as they get older, right? There are still concepts in the Christian faith. Tackling the two natures of Christ, that can be a very deep and complex process, right, when we do it?
Sure.
Am I going to dive into that with my preschooler? You know, understanding what is the basis that I want to teach my children. And Luther talks about these words that are so simple, you know, the basic truths that a child can understand. Mm-hmm. And how do we describe those? If we go to the Ten Commandments, like you, my daughter learned the Lord's Prayer first and then the Creed next. And we've been working on the Ten Commandments. We're struggling with 9 and 10 right now. That's where we're hitting a little bit of a snafu.
Didn't you say you started with the fourth commandment?
Like any good parent.
Yes.
I started with the fourth
commandment. That one's an easy one though.
Well, yeah,
that one's easy.
Honor your father and
sure.
your mother.
And seventh commandment.
Yeah, those
are both easy.
And being, you know, we want to use the law to show our children what is wrong with everything that they are doing right now, right? But those are simple. But being able to teach these simple words and then we describe what those are. I think about, especially in the commandments, there are some tough words to teach our children. That
sure.
does not mean that we do not teach our
right.
children what these mean. For instance, the fifth commandment, you shall not murder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I'm comfortable talking with my three-year-old about four-year-old about the realities of what happens in a murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can describe what murder in a global context means, being mean to somebody, having ill feelings for somebody, you know, those mm-hmm. type of things. And describing that to my daughter about that, or stealing. She may not understand what the word steal is, but then I can talk about this is when you take something from somebody. I don't know if I would describe to my daughter somebody breaking into a house and removing things from that house right now, but we have concepts that she can understand right mm-hmm. now to describe when she asks, what's a steal? What's a murder?
Or the sixth commandment.
Yeah, that's a huge challenge.
I would say teaching it from the affirmative perspective.
Yeah. Mommy and daddy get to love each other.
Right.
And get to share this thing that God gave them mm-hmm. for each other, and they get to do that. That's how we've tackled that, mm-hmm. right? Sharing that with her, not going into the complexities of what that is. And I think for us, we have a trigger word when we go through the commandments. If she doesn't remember what it is, and when we get to the sixth, I always say, well, that's the one with the weird word in it. You know, so, and then she remembers adultery. But at the same time, being able to explain that in a way that she understands mm-hmm. In terms of this is what mommies and daddies are gifted this from Christ, that this love that they get to share with each other, and we don't share that with anybody else.
Mm. What a valuable and a meaningful way to teach them that's in a way that's age appropriate, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I know for us, trying to commit these things to memory and then trying to encouraging our son to actually speak them out loud, it's kind of interesting. At home, sometimes he will say them. Occasionally in the service on Sunday morning, he'll say he'll pray the Creed with us or the Lord's Prayer with us, and sometimes he won't.
Yeah.
Do you ever experience that with your daughter?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, we're from Indiana and just moving in. When we go back and forth between
sure.
church and we're visiting my brother's church or we're visiting my parents' church, sometimes she's nervous to say those things. I think also, too, when we look at this learning, we think about the pace at which people speak. Far be it for me to tell a pastor how he conducts the worship of God in the house for his flock that he's looking over. But I would say that if you turn around and you look and you see little eyes staring back at you, the speed at which you say those things mm-hmm. can determine whether a child will feel comfortable or not saying those words, because they may not physically be able to speak at the pace in which you're going. And so I think that that's important when you look at all of those different things, because there are other factors outside mm-hmm. of just a kid being a kid, and I'm sure. not going to say it right now, or I'm not going to do that. But there are all those other things to think. I think about when you teach the ABCs to your children. My daughter had a hard time with L, M, N, O, P. There's a lot of very complex motions and, sure. and movements of your embouchure at that point in time. And
we tend to lump them all together.
We do.
And in the traditional way that we sing it or say it.
Yeah, and you mumble through that. And in the same way, if we say the creed quickly, or we say the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, there are a lot of, syllables in that. And,
sure.
And so for her to say that if we're going fast, she may just stop and say, I can't keep up, so I'm just going to sit here and listen, mm-hmm. which is okay for her to listen to God's word as well. But
sure. I don't know if you noticed that when Oscar was saying that earlier the recording, kind of lumped all those words together.
And that's great.
Linen in his tendition.
Yeah.
But you brought up a good point. When we teach our children the alphabet, we don't avoid teaching them the ABCs no. because they're too young. Mm-hmm. This is, in essence, the ABCs of God's word. When we're teaching the small catechism, these are the ABCs. My son is learning the alphabet, and he's starting to learn how to use the alphabet a little bit, but by no means has he grasped how to really use the alphabet.
All right.
We have some word puzzles that you actually, it has a picture on it, and then you add the letters to it. There are places for letters. For example, it's a picture of a frog, and so you add an F, because mm-hmm. there's a place for an F, an R, an O, and a G. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to teach him how to add those letters to it. He searches for them and adds them, but I've been trying to teach, start on this side and work your way over. And he'll put them in any order. Like, he knows that, okay, that's an F, and that's an O, and then he'll put the G, and then he'll come back and put the R yeah. in instead of, doing them mm-hmm. from left to right. So in terms of spelling, that's just not a concept that he's grasped yet. But by no means am I going to stop teaching him the alphabet or practicing yeah. saying the alphabet, because he doesn't know how to build a word yet.
Yeah.
Same thing with catechesis. Just because he doesn't understand what we're saying in the creed or what we're praying in the Lord's Prayer doesn't mean that I wouldn't continue to teach those and practice those with him.
Yeah.
Just because he doesn't understand them yet doesn't make them any less valuable.
Absolutely. I mean, when we look from the educator perspective, all of this, Bloom's taxonomy is important when we look at that. And if our listeners haven't done that, I would encourage you to Google Bloom's taxonomy and just look at a picture of a pyramid. And at the bottom of that, you would see knowledge or remembering, depending on which version that you get that pops up. But that base of the pyramid, the bottom foundation of everything, is that rote information. And that's where we start in education. That's where we start giving that foundation, because without that foundation, there's nothing to build from. And why wait until that point? You could make the same analogy to a car. Because my child does not understand that they should be buckled in inside of the car, I'm just not going to make them do it, because they don't understand the importance of that. Maybe that's a absurd analogy, but at the same point, this is even more important than buckling your child into a car. We're talking about the truth of life and salvation.
Certainly.
It's so much more important. And I'm not trying to downplay the importance of buckling your child into a car seat, right?
Sure.
but at the same point, these are the most important things that we could ever teach our children beyond anything else. God's word and the truth of that is more important than our ABCs. It's more important than counting and doing those things.
So sometimes we may be afraid or not know how to go about that. Can we get into that in the next segment?
Absolutely.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll talk more about that. We're talking with Joe Wellman, a senior instructional designer at Concordia Publishing House, teaching toddlers catechesis with the little guys. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
If you shop at Moleskin, you might want to reconsider. It specializes in notebooks, diaries, journals, bags, and reading accessories related to travel. According to its website, their philosophy is world culture, travel, and personal identity, unless you're pro-life or a Christian. Moleskin refused to print the logo of Texas Right to Life on notebook covers, saying it was too controversial. They also discriminate against all religious groups and churches by refusing to do business with them. However, they brag about supporting the Global Fund, which promotes abortion around the world. The Moleskin website claims they're an apolitical company, all the while doing printing that supports controversial political issues like global warming and sexual health. One more example of corporate intolerance and hypocrisy.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Do you enjoy using good old snail mail? Writing a letter, a postcard, or using a typewriter to do the same? Why not send Worldwide KFUO your letter today? Our street address is Worldwide KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. And just a click away, 24 hours a day, you can find our contacts page at kfuo.org.
Join the fun and festivities at Lutheran Elementary School Association's Brew in the Lou, Saturday, October 15th at a new location on the grounds of Francis Park in St. Louis Hills. Enjoy delicious food and drink, oompa with the Deutschmeister Brass Band, and visit booths filled to the brim with various crafts. Proceeds benefit more than 8,500 children in Lutheran schools in the St. Louis metro area. Information and wristbands are on the phone at 314-200-0797. For Brew in the Lou.
Listen to Worldwide KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. With our KFUO website and smartphone apps, you can listen to our live stream and our on-demand programs and podcast anytime, day or night. Listen to Worldwide KFUO when you're available and where you are. Listen on your car radio, Bluetooth devices, smartphones, podcast players, Wi-Fi radios, and so many other listening devices. Listen today, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. And tell your friends about KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We're talking with Joe Willman of Concordia Publishing House. He's a senior instructional designer there. We're talking about catechesis and toddlers. Can you teach little kids some of the most basic teachings of God's Word that we find in the small catechism? And just like teaching kids the ABCs or anything else, teaching them to count, that's the same thing that's happening in catechesis. We're teaching them the foundation of the truth of God's Word, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the number one thing that as a parent that we're tasked with. That's one of our vocations, is to teach our children, and more important than anything else that we'll ever teach our kids is the truth of God.
So Joe, when, where, and how, you can pick which one you want to start with, when, where, and how do we teach these toddlers God's word, when do we start teaching these, or how do we start teaching, or where do we start teaching these truths of God's word?
Yeah, so these examples that I give you, maybe first I want to tell everybody, every kid is different. So just because I share something or Andy shares something, that may not work for you. That doesn't mean that we don't try something else.
Just because your child isn't as brilliant as mine.
Absolutely. That is not that. I would say first, when? I would start teaching before they're even here in the world. Can you imagine sitting next to your wife at night and praying the Lord's Prayer together?
Certainly.
It may come through the womb as mumble, you know, as that. But there's a rhythm to that. They've heard that rhythm, and they come into the world, and now they hear those clear words as they come into the world with that same rhythm and that same pace. And wow, there's something comfortable from that environment that I was in that I remember hearing. And what an amazing opportunity. So I would say start right away. It may not be what we think of as that, but you have that opportunity right away. And as that child enters the world, I would say start praying the Lord's Prayer with that child every night when they go to sleep. Every single night when they go to bed, you pray the Lord's Prayer. And they start to learn those words. And you'll just be shocked. I remember the first time that my daughter prayed with me. You know, we're sitting there every night, and I get emotional about this kind of stuff, but, you know, she was like,
I think it's a dad thing.
Well, it is, you know, a dad-daughter thing, too, and you have a son, and, I remember sitting there in our chair rocking and praying the Lord's Prayer, and then all of a sudden she starts saying parts of it. She couldn't say the whole thing, but you're sitting there, and afterwards I went to my wife, and I was like, have you been working with her on this? And she was like, no, and I was like, you've got to see this. So I picked her back up out of bed and sat there, and she started doing it again. And my wife and I were, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and so they grasp those things. And I think that's why we think of the Lord's Prayer and the Creed as things that they might learn before the Ten Commandments, because they hear those all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They hear it in the divine service. They hear it when we pray. So you begin doing those things, and you don't even have to be setting up how I would teach the ABCs to my daughter. You know, my wife is a teacher who gets to stay at home now. And so I'm slightly, I'm very joyful for that. And it's also a great thing to have. But she's very intentional about doing those things and having education time at home with that. But you don't have to do that with the Lord's Prayer and the Creed. You say that and they hear those words, and is from the beginning they start to do those things. Now, I'm more intentional with, say, the Ten Commandments than that, but I think that's where they start to learn those words and hear those words as they hear them every week.
So the times that we might do that are, as you pointed out, bedtime is a great time to pray, especially the Lord's Prayer, to teach them that prayer. But also, as we gather for worship, they're hearing and perhaps even joining along in praying or speaking these things. The Ten Commandments, we perhaps don't pray those or speak those in the divine service too much, too frequently.
Yeah, you know, at the church that I attend, we confess part of the catechism every service, just one small part. We just got done with the Tenth Commandment last week, so we'll move into the Creed next week. But again, it's not like we corporately go through all of those at one point in time during the divine service. So finding that time with that, we joked about earlier that I taught my daughter the fourth commandment first, and specifically in response to something that she did that she should not have done, right? But I found for me, in my scenario, finding those interesting times where I want my daughter to sit still.
Mm-hmm.
And she typically wouldn't. And at night, that is what it is for us. So after my daughter gets out of the bathtub and I've got her PJs on and she's sitting down and I'm combing her hair, that's the time when we go through the Ten Commandments. And it's just now become routine for us.
And she sits still for that?
She does, because I've got to comb her hair and she has long hair and it gets very knotty and there's just no...
I have yet to figure out that trick. To get my son to sit still after, because similar routine. Now he doesn't take long to get his hair, but get him out of the bathtub and then get pajamas on and get ready for bed, and he starts getting wound up.
Oh,
yeah. He starts jumping and climbing off of the furniture, climbing and jumping off the furniture in his room, and we try to make this routine. We sit down with we read a couple of books. We have my first hymnal and my first catechism, and sit down with these and some arch books sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting down is not his thing.
Yeah, at that point in time, it's just not. And that's where what works for me doesn't work for somebody else in that scenario, you know? Whereas at the same time, my daughter is not responsive to that anytime else. You know, I remember just last week we were sitting down. And I was like, this is a perfect opportunity. She's just over playing with her toys and being kind of quiet. And I was like, hey, Ava, what's the first command? Because we always start with the first and go through them. And she rolled her eyes and she went, Dad, it's not time to do this right now. So those things are, you know, figuring out when that is, you know, and how to address it. I've seen people do it over a meal,
sure,
while they're going through the Ten Commandments while they're eating, because that could be a time. My daughter doesn't like to sit still for some reason while we eat. She's a great eater, but she does not want to sit still while she eats. She wants to be leaning on somebody. She wants to do all of that. But if we engage in conversation while she's going through things, it causes her to think and she's eating at the same time. So those those are those times.
Wow. So she's reading, marking, and inwardly digesting
yes.
God's word while also eating an earthly meal.
That wasn't cheesy at all.
No, not at all. I'm really good at cheesy stuff like that. Okay, so what do you do when you've got a squirrely kid who won't or can't sit still during the time? You just do the best you can?
You do the best you can, and I think, too, it becomes our approach. I know, as an educator, my temperament can control the environment of what goes on. When I was a teacher and in the school system, I taught middle school, which for a lot of educators, they look at you and think you are the craziest person in the world when you have to deal with 13-year-olds every single day. And for me, I loved it because the second that I realized that they were going through the most screwed up time of their life, I just accepted that. And
sure,
they're going to be a little crazy and deal with things that other people don't. But how I engaged with them, how I responded to their actions could either escalate or de-escalate a situation. And so in those times, especially at night, I just want you to go to sleep because I haven't had time to sit next to my wife and discuss anything at all during the day. I had a long day at work. I am just absolutely burnt out. And at the same time, if I just stop and realize this is a 2-year-old, they are excited. They're trying to be overtly excited because they're going to sleep. I'm going to take a big, deep breath. I'm going to speak very calmly. I'm going to talk about we're going to God's word now. And let's talk about what did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross for our salvation. That's what my daughter responds with at those points in time. And by de-escalating the situation, you might find a little more success. Now, I'm not promising that that happens. Kids are kids and they get crazy and they go all over the place. And sometimes our de-escalation doesn't work as well. But I think how we respond is important.
Well, yeah, we try that. My wife is very good at the staying calm thing.
Yeah.
I'm not so good at it.
Oh, there are some times where you're like, oh, what are you doing, child? Yes. Let's just relax a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hands on the face or hands on the head. Yeah. It's, you know, trying that calming voice. It's time to sit down. It's time for night prayers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't always work. Yeah. All right, so the when, the how, the where. Mm-hmm. Now for us, it's usually after, same as you guys, after bath time. It's in our son's room. We go in there, and that's where we, you know, pull out some books, usually some arch books or other books from his library, and sit down and read those. We'll try to sit down, but it's you know, we try to set the mood in his room so that it's quiet and calm too.
Yeah.
You know, just instead of in another part of the, you know, our home, it's we try to do it in his room where it's nice and quiet, no other distractions, no TV or anything like that.
Yeah.
We try to set that environment and try to make it routine as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what's interesting is when we travel and our routine is changed a little bit, he actually does better.
Because it's not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better with the, you know, the nighttime prayers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing, maybe a strategy that we employ is we actually have a reading corner in her room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she reads. We have our little video camera, right, still in her room where you can see things. Mm-hmm. And when she goes up to take a nap in the afternoon, you know, she doesn't typically nap. But what she'll do is she'll go over to her library and pull out books and just go sit in her reading corner and read to herself over there. So there's kind of that space where she knows this is where I read and sit down and calm down. So I those have helped too.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Just having that space designated for that.
Yeah.
Wow. Now you said something and it triggered a thought and I can't remember what it was. It's probably that lack of sleep.
That lack of sleep that happens.
Other things you've learned along the way as a parent. I mean, you were an educator before a parent, but what are those things that you've learned as a parent along the way now, a parent who's an educator teaching your children?
I will tell you, having a child changes your outview on being an educator. I think it gives you more compassion. I think as educators, before you're a parent, you think, I have every answer. And these parents that are dealing with stuff, if they just knew what I knew. And then you get so humbled when your children show up in the world. So I think those are things that I have learned. And then drawing connections for my child to things outside of our home or our things. I'm big in tying the catechism into what we do at church and drawing those connections. So then while they're sitting through the divine service, they can sit and think, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, even if we don't think they can, it does now.
What about parents communicating to one another and having a plan and working together, you know, being a team in this?
I think there is a value in parents being different. And hear me out slightly on this, mm-hmm. and maybe people think I'm crazy because we always think of this united front, but we all approach things differently, and hearing things in different ways is always helpful. My wife does not pray with my daughter the same way that I pray with my daughter, and I think that's a value because she gets different experiences in that. I think the united front that we have are these are the things that we want our daughter to learn. But for me to try to mandate to my wife, you teach this way, that's just not a loving way to approach anything in a healthy relationship. But I don't think that serves our daughter as well to only have one experience with that.
What are some of the, so obviously a small catechism is a great resource for teaching children. Do you have other favorite tools that you use for teaching your daughter or that you recommend to others?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I work for Concordia Publishing sure. House. Absolutely. I will tell you that one of our best products for teaching the catechism is a product that we have that's called Sing the Faith. It's a CD that sings through the text of the small catechism. And you can listen to that in the car. And kids learn so much from singing. It blows my mind how many words to songs that my daughter knows mm-hmm. already. So putting those to song is a great thing. We also have, and you've mentioned a lot, and you use a lot at your house, My First Catechism, as well as My First Hymnal. Those are two great things. Another resource that I use, we use the hymnal in my household. And our church has a rhythm of how they go through the different settings of the divine service. And we actually go through the divine service with our daughter and sing those parts with her at night and make those connections back to the catechism that she's learning right now. And I think that is, mm-hmm. that's helpful to her. You mentioned the Alexa app. I would love to get feedback from a lot of people that are using it. We've have it installed on a lot. I think about 500 people have installed it already.
Wow.
Which is mind blowing sure. to me, right? Because it's one very specific platform. But I'd love to get feedback on all of the different ways that people are using that in their household, because I think it's such mm-hmm. a great tool to help reinforce that.
We like it, and it's been working well for us, except for when I'm too far away from Alexa trying to do that across the room.
Yeah.
You know, and she can't hear me as well. Yeah. And that's my own fault. I should speak louder or be closer. Yeah. Sometimes she'll say, oh, I didn't understand. But that's an Alexa thing. That's not the skill mm-hmm. or app, as you call it. Mm-hmm. I would love for, and maybe it already does this, and I don't know how to do it.
Hang on, let me get a pen so I can write down.
I would love for it to be able to go through all 10 commandments without asking for each commandment. Same with the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. To be able to go through all three of those without having to ask each one. Like to be able to say, what are the 10 commandments? And then you would together recite all 10 commandments without asking for each one.
Well, Andy, I happen to know a guy that can probably make that happen quite quickly. And you know,
same for the Creed and the Lord's Prayer.
Well, you know, as I've talked right now, and we mentioned in the beginning, what is the most important thing that we want our kids to know at these young ages? It is those words, not the what does this mean, or the not sure. Those aren't important, but we want them to learn those base texts of that. I bet I can make that happen by the end of the week, Andy. I can't promise for sure 100%, but that is a great, great piece of feedback that we could probably make happen quickly. I'd have to go through the right channels to do that.
For example, you know, Luther's evening prayer and morning prayer, those are in there as well.
Absolutely.
You can ask for those. And so it's one complete prayer together and can be spoken together, you know, with Alexa helping us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will be sending somebody a message immediately upon arriving back on South Jefferson Street.
It's a very handy resource to use, and especially because Alexa is something that our son enjoys using and engaging. So it's kind of handy in that way, in that sense, because it's technology. It's something that we use in our home for music and other things, for music and for, you know, some things. And the funny thing about all of this, we didn't buy it. It was actually a part of a reward system, a point system. So we've been, you know, building our electronics at our home piece by piece just through points.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to get this as a gift and then be able to add the small catechism skill set to it.
For free.
For free.
I mean, that's even the amazing part of it.
Yeah, that was what was neat. It was to have this nifty gift. And, you know, at first I was thinking, oh, that's fancy. That's kind of frivolous. But then we got it. I was like, oh, okay. Well, now we can use this to teach the catechism to our son.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he does enjoy it. Daddy, you ask Alexa?
Yes, for
That's
sure.
That's what we hear a lot.
Yeah. As I mentioned before, my daughter is afraid to ask Alexa anything, but she loves listening to Alexa.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a handy tool. Keep the good stuff coming like this, you know, that uses digital media and things like that our kids are growing up with, that they're using in schools, that they're very familiar with. Now, books are great too. I love the books.
Yeah.
I love the books. And so keep those coming too. We use those a lot, especially arch books. And like you said, My First Hymnal, My First Catechism. We love the artwork in My First Hymnal.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
We love the artwork in that. I was just sharing this with someone the other day that, our artist yesterday, Kelly Schumacher, sharing that with her, that our son loves the artwork in My First Hymnal, and he often wants to sing the shepherd hymn. He means The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Yeah.
And so he thumbs through it until he finds the shepherd, and he knows that's the hymn that he wants to sing.
Well, we think of all the different learning strategies that there are for kids, and those that are visual learners can see that and make that connection. I think we can all think of those experiences and think of what we see during those experiences. Mm-hmm. And artwork is a definite thing that can draw learning to our kids.
Well, and it's even color-coded.
Yeah.
You know, the front part has the front of My First Hymnal has the map of the church year that I really love, and I've used that quite a bit. But then the other pages in the front, the orders for morning prayer and in evening prayer and confession as a family, all of those are color coded, so they all stay together. The Psalms and the Lord's Prayer and the Creed are all in one section as well. So it's really easy to find those. And then the hymns are by the season of the church year as well, or by topic. And those are all color-coded as well. So you can tell what part of the church year you're in just based on the colors of the pages.
Well, and what a great connection to draw our kids to. We're singing this now, and when we go to church, why are the pyramids green? What is going on?
Sure.
Well, green's an easy one because that's a long time in the year, right? That's a good bet it's going to be green right now, right?
Right.
But, you know, what do those different things mean? Why in Lent do we have purple?
Mm-hmm.
Or violet as we look at that? What is the importance of that?
Sure. And that's something that we do in the pew. You know, what color is the pastor wearing today? What color do you see over there? What color do you see? Oh, that's green, or that's red. Oh, wow. It's red today. Why do you think it might be red? Is it a special day?
Yeah.
And what are we learning about today? Or what are we, what are we singing about today? The color red helps us, you know, connect with that.
Yeah, Absolutely.
Well, I love that. You all are doing some great work there. So what's next after the Ten Commandments, after you conquer the Ten Commandments in the Willman household?
We will be moving on to baptism next. Obviously, with the addition of a second child, it is a wonderful opportunity for us to talk about baptism, talk about which is that word of God when we go. Because again, if we go back to, and I won't read it right now, but if we go back to that shorter preface to the Large Catechism, after they've learned those first three parts, we go on to what are the important parts of baptism and what are the important parts of the sacrament of the altar for our children to learn. And those words they talk about are actually the words from Scripture that command those. So we'll be moving on to that next.
And you'll all be doing this sleep deprived, I'm sure.
Sleep deprived is something that we are preparing for in our household and joyously looking forward to.
Thanks be to God we have something like the Small Catechism to help us through. It's when we're sleep deprived, we can still teach our children.
Yes.
Because it remains the same. The Word
eternity.
Of God remains the same,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. And so we have this handy resource in that. Well, congratulations to your family. I know there's an exciting time coming up. The phone did not ring yet.
It did not ring. We made it through the segment.
We made it through. And you'll, I'm sure, have some more catechesis to do with the newest edition. Now, do you think your older daughter will be helping teach your youngest child now?
That's why we have older children, isn't it?
Right.
We can just push all of that. No, we don't push that off on them, right? But I sure hope so. I think she's very excited to be a big sister. We've talked about that. And we use that as an opportunity with the catechism to talk to her about what a great responsibility that she has now to be a great example for her little brother. And we should learn to sing nicely right now instead of screaming this, so our little brother can learn to sing nicely instead of screaming these things and doing that.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that raises those questions. Don't you think we should sing this nicely instead of screaming it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's when you're sitting in church. That's the time that I'm sitting there and I'm like, I am so glad you are singing this. But the people that can hear you behind us and you're facing forward because you are just screaming and screaming and screaming, let's sing nicely. That would make me feel better, but I know it doesn't matter. But
well, Joe, we've mentioned some resources today. Where can we find more of these resources? I'm sure at Concordia Publishing House.
Yeah, at Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. You can call us 1-800-325-3040 to order any of those resources. We also have a blog, education.cph.org, where we share a lot of resources for everything from teaching the faith in your home to the Lutheran educator to teaching in the parish, just a vast array. We just hired a new employee at CPH that has a strong background in special education, and she's begun blogging about how to teach the faith in that context. So just a wealth of knowledge at education.cph.org.
And the blog is really a place where a lot of what we talked about today is shared too. That's where you've shared quite a few blog posts on this very subject of teaching little ones, particularly preschoolers or toddlers.
Yeah.
The six chief parts are the catechism.
Yeah, it's been a great thing. Every Friday I put a new blog post up, or I try to every Friday, and I try to write in series for my blog posts so that they flow and connect with each other. So talking about worship, talking about teaching the faith at home. Right now I'm doing one on connecting, teaching your little one the liturgy and what is going on right now during that. So that's what I'm writing on right now. But I did finish a series up a month or so ago about connecting all of the six chief parts to your preschooler. So,
excellent place to get some more resources. We'll try to provide a link of that as well to the blog with our archive of today's program.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks so much for being my guest today. I have enjoyed the conversation. I bet we could probably talk for a few more hours.
Absolutely, Andy. We always could. Thanks for having me.
Joe Willman, Senior Instructional Designer, Concordia Publishing House. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.